Price. I'm pleased to welcome, as we do every Tuesday morning at this time, from newrules.org. This week we have Becca Vargo-Daggett. Hello, Becca.
Hi, Wendy.
How's it going?
It's going great, and I hear that you're talking this morning about bias in how the news is presented, and that really gets at one of the issues with this wireless broadband project.
Oh, really? Please talk about it.
Sure. Actually, a couple of things have happened since we talked about this last a month or so ago. One big thing is that the Supreme Court made a decision that affects everyone's internet service. In the Brand X decision, the Supreme Court decided that cable modems, they're not a telecommunications service like telephones, but they're an information service. And what that means is that cable companies don't have to lease space on their networks to competitors at any price. But there's a bigger implication, and the court said that your cable modem isn't something that lets you surf the internet and go wherever you want and see whatever you want and send information of your choosing. What it is it's more like your cable television box, where the cable company chooses what selection of information comes into your home. So that means that in the near future, say a Time Warner customer could enter the web address for the New York Times, but could be redirected to Fox News service because Fox News has a subscription set up through Time Warner, but the New York Times doesn't.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So really it means that the cable companies and then the DSL companies are going to be in a position to filter the information that comes to you through the internet.
Now, there's been talk about this happening, about these giant media corporations seeing the internet as their new domain. They control so much of the mass media that's available to us now, television, radio, as our listeners well know, with, right here in the metro, what, 35 to 40 radio stations. We're proud to say there is now one that isn't right-wing or just kind of, you know, generic, not really dealing with major issues at all. There's one that is liberal or progressive. And I would point out to people as well that this is also the only radio station in the entire state of Minnesota that openly talks about non-right-wing issues. So,
right.
And so now they want to take over the internet, huh?
Exactly. It would be the same kind of thing. If AirAmericaMinnesota.com didn't pay a fee to be part of Time Warner's information service delivered through your cable modem, Time Warner customers might not be able to log on to .com. and so what we're facing right now is that the city of Minneapolis is looking at making a major investment in our information infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just wireless, although they're doing citywide wireless. But citywide wireless for all of Minneapolis would cost in the neighborhood of $1 to $2 million. But the network that's going to be built under this city request for proposal is going to cost in the neighborhood of $15 to $20 million.
Why?
Because it's a huge investment in the fiber optics that are underneath our city. And so that's the kind of long-term, decades-long investment in the backbone of our network. And that's what allows us to connect to the nationwide internet.
Okay.
And so this isn't a small investment. This is a decades-long investment. And what the city has decided is that they're going to let a private company own that network. So we'll have the private telephone company network, the DSL network, and the private cable company network. And then what the city has said is we're going to give you a third privately owned network that they can decide what information they want to transmit and what information
you know,
they
don't. Becca, now that you're explaining this, I have to admit, when you want to sign up for cable, they like say, okay, well, we'll be installing it Monday the 18th, and we'll be there sometime between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. It's like, okay, am I supposed to, like, you know, take off work for a day just to get my cable installed on your schedule? And then if you have a problem, it's kind of the same thing. Well, the repairman will be there. Basically, they have a monopoly, and they dictate because there's no competition. They don't have to be real customer service friendly. Now you're saying that the city of Minneapolis's plan to go all wireless is going to put us in the same kind of a situation for our internet connection?
Exactly. They're entering into the same type of agreement that they've got with the cable company right now. It's essentially a franchise agreement where the city is going to let a single private company build and own the network, and then they'll pay off their investment in that network by selling services to the city and the customers. And the problem with that is that the city is stuck with that provider. So if the provider provides bad service, it doesn't matter. You know, they're stuck into a long-term contract with that. The alternative would be for the city to contract with private companies for the construction of the network, but the city itself would own the network. So private companies would still build it, but the city would own the network and they would control it. And they could choose who provided services over that network. So if the service provider that had the contract wasn't working out, I mean, say they were doing a really bad job of filtering spam or something, mm-hmm. what they could do then is say to that company, hey, if you don't shape up, we're going to choose a different company to sell us services over the network that we own.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that would let them do is it would let customers choose which internet service provider they want to provide services through the city's network to their to the customer's home. So the city could lease space on its network to different service providers.
Becca, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask a little bit more about what this entire citywide internet owned by one company is going to mean to all the little ISPs around the Twin Cities as well. In just a moment, we'll continue on the Wendy Wilde Show on AM 950 Air America, Minnesota.
You're listening to the Wendy Wilde Show on AM 950 Air America, Minnesota. Where the left is right. And the right is wrong.
AM 950 Air America, Minnesota. The Wendy Wilde Show. Our guest is from an organization. They have a website. I want you to check it out. It's called newrules.org. And the organization that heads it up is the Minneapolis-based Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Becca Vargodegit, our guest today from newrules.org. We're talking about citywide internet. Now, I know that Chaska has it, and Chaska is a really little area. So, if they have a citywide internet and they went with one company, it's probably not quite as big a deal as it would be for Minneapolis, where there are all sorts of little local ISPs. In fact, my whole family, we try really hard to be as mom and pop as we can in our lives, and so we try to stick with local companies. And I believe that I'm hearing that a lot of these ISPs are worried that they're just going to be snuffed out of business, Becca.
Well, exactly. I mentioned before the Brand X decision, and the result of that is that cable companies and soon phone companies can simply deny access to competitors. They don't have to sell space on their networks to the small ISPs at any price. So what that means is that some of the smaller, local, independently owned internet service providers like Visi.com and IP House, they're going to be out of luck because they've been using these networks to carry their traffic, and they won't be able to do that anymore.
You know, some of these little companies, and you named one of the ones that we use in our household. My husband actually used them before anybody had ever heard of the internet, when the internet back in those days was nothing more than like a little, you could use a command line and you could like type information back and forth, and that's all it was. No pictures, no flashy websites. It was just like a place where you could message people back and forth, essentially. And I mean, it was local guys who started it, you know.
Exactly. And these are the companies that have really been driving the innovation in the internet. I mean, these are the creative people that we want to have as part of our community, you know. And they'll go out of business without a network, a citywide network that they have access to. They'll go out of business, and then we lose those creative industries here in Minneapolis, and that's a great loss for our community. And because, you know, the national companies, they'll put their creative people, their innovative people in other markets. You know, they might have all their creative people in California and just have technicians here in Minnesota. And those are great jobs too, but it's not the same as having that creative, innovative force here in Minnesota. And we've been, you know, Minnesota has been, an innovator in computers for the past 5 decades. So that would be a great loss for us.
You know, another thing that really worries me is when you have just one company in charge, then there's no competition to keep the prices affordable. So the cost of, and let me point out too, if you get on one of those massive internet companies like AOL, and you've never used any other company but that, you don't realize you're not really seeing all of the internet. They sort of protect you from seeing what's out there. Now, some of it you might not want to see, but there's a lot more internet out there that you don't actually get to see because they sort of direct what you're doing. Right now, the way that it is, if you go with these local companies, I mean, the internet is yours. You can post your website however you like, and you can access whatever it is that you want. So there's a possibility that they would be restricting our access.
Well, exactly. Again, that's exactly what the Supreme Court and the FCC have said that they can do. They've said that the information that comes through you, to you through your cable modem or your DSL modem is not, what you're getting there is not access to the whole World Wide Web, to everything out there. What you're getting is access to what the cable company or the DSL company wants to give you access to, and that puts them in a position to charge websites a fee to be a part of what their customers can see.
So what we've basically got today, and remember, too, that the people who invented the Internet didn't put, like, a copyright on it, so they're getting rich off it. They actually gave it to the world as a gift. Here is an amazing opportunity to communicate with people all over the world, and that's what it's been up to this point. Now what we see is big corporations making an effort to say, hey, you know, we could grab a chunk of this and then force people to pay us for it. So they're trying to make money off what the inventors of the Internet gave as a gift to all of us.
Sure, the Internet is the ultimate democratic technology. It lets us, it lets anyone get their message out. It lets anyone see other people's messages. It's low cost. You know, people in China can read our website and learn about democracy and making rules that favor community. Although this is interesting, you know, speaking of the technology being very much out there to restrict the Internet, Microsoft has been working with the Chinese government to prevent bloggers from using words like democracy and capitalism and socialism on their blogs.
Who's doing that?
Microsoft has done this, is working with the Chinese government to do this so that blogs
China
can be blocked for using particular words.
So
technology is out there. It can be done. And the question is, do we want to keep control over it? Do we want to own these things? We're becoming more and more dependent on this information. It's like our, you know, we've become more dependent on our cars, but our roads are publicly owned and anybody can drive on them.
So far.
If you want to drive a Ford or if you want to drive a Toyota, you have equal access to the road. And, you know, the question is, do we want that for our information networks? Do we want to publicly own them and have open access to everything that's out there and for everyone.
Becca, there's a minute left of our interview. What is the status of the city of Minneapolis and the city council's decision to move forward with a single company to build and essentially own the Internet infrastructure for the entire city of Minneapolis? What is the status and what can we do?
Well, the city council will be making that decision within a matter of weeks, but the decision is not yet made. You can contact your council person and express your concern. You can contact the mayor's office. And if you're really interested, on Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. at the Cafe of the Americas, Councilmember Gary Schiff is having breakfast with Gary. We're going to talk about this very issue. So I encourage you to stop by if you're interested in that. And, of course, for more information, you can visit newrules.org.
Becca Vargo-Daggett, thank you so much for the information.
Thank you, Wendy.